Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. Okay, this week's reviewer of the week is KJ03331. I always get a kick out of these names, and I'm sorry, I don't know exactly who you are, but I greatly appreciate the review. She says, empowering women. I'm so glad I found this podcast. I really feel like it empowered me to have the kind of birth I want to have. I'm a first-time mom, and when I told most of my friends I wanted an unmedicated birth, they thought I was just crazy. Join the club. Listening to your podcast week by week, I learned I could do it. I'm so lucky to have a very supportive nurse midwife team on my side as well. The hospital I'm going to even has an entire low intervention unit where I can birth. This podcast also gave me the knowledge and confidence to say no. I recently failed my 1 hour blood glucose test by 2 points, ugh, and said no when I was asked to do the 3 hour because I just knew my body couldn't handle it. Once I said no, the midwife quickly brought up just checking my blood sugars, and I'm happy to do that. I never would have said no had I not listened to the podcast, as option two wasn't given to me unless I ask. I'm signing up for the birth course as soon as we move in a week. I can't wait. And I think you are already in the birth course, so now I'm genuinely curious who KJ is. So reach out to me. Let me know who you are. Thank you so much for your time and energy that you put into this review. And I'm so proud of you, because it's not just about listening to the podcast. It's about learning and the knowledge that we gain from it and then applying it. And it's not just about saying no. It's about knowing our options so that we can say no with confidence, because we know the other side of it is positive. So that's super important. And then really quick, we had a review come in from MollyAnn1357. I don't normally do two reviews, but she said, I've been listening to you guys since my second trimester. Literally love you. I'm 32 weeks. I have so many questions. How do I contact you? So if you guys do have questions, if you have podcast requests, there's a couple ways to get in touch. Number one, you can send an email to hello@myessentialbirth.com. You'll get in direct contact with me. I'll take your request, or I'll answer any questions you have. The other way is to follow along on Instagram or Facebook. Same thing, send me a DM if you have any questions or podcast requests, and you can get in touch with me right there. All right, so today I'm super excited to introduce you to a friend of mine. Her name is Erin, and she happened to be one of my birth students when I was teaching classes in person. And I loved her story, not only because of the birth story and the power and she's empowered and confident and the courage that came behind it, but also where it led her, because I can totally relate to this on a different level. And so I want you to meet her today. So her name is Erin Stuckey, and I'm going to give her a moment to introduce herself.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. As Stephanie mentioned, we met about 4 years ago when I was pregnant with my first son, and my husband and I enrolled in her birthing class at the time. Since then, I've had, two kids, that one 4 years ago, and then one more, he's two. My husband and I have been married for 6 years, but together for 8, and I love listening to that review. I love that women are getting the knowledge that they need and are feeling empowered, and that they can make their decisions when it comes to their body and their pregnancies and their births. I just love that. I think that's so great you're doing that for women.
Thank you. It's so good. The reviews are where it's at, because you're like, it's working.
That's amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wanted to kind of walk back to that first birth experience, because it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And all the things, right? There's probably a lot of feelings involving that.
And a lot.
Possibly even what catapulted you into the life that you're living today. So talk to me a little bit about your experience. I want to hear a little bit about the birth prep and kind of from the beginning, like whose idea was it to take a birth class and what interested you in that?
Yes.
So take a moment.
So my oldest sister actually is the one who kind of led me this way. Well, both my sisters, actually. Both of them had natural births with their kids, and I just was like, they can do it, I can do it too, you know? And epidurals are scary to me, so I just didn't necessarily want that either. So it was my decision, me basically was like to my husband, Kason, and just was like, we're doing this class because I don't want to have a medicated birth. And he was hesitant at first, but was really supportive when it came down to it, because I was the one having the baby.
Right. So it's like, I'm going to do it how I want. 99% of the women that get into a birth course and you ask the dads, it's like, yeah, she dragged me here.
Yeah,
right?
totally. Yeah. So he was hesitant at first. It took a minute for him to get comfortable, I think. I know that he was taking it seriously, but there's a lot when it comes to classes. You know, there's like therapeutic touch and all of the things that they're in charge of. So it took him a minute to get comfortable with it. And it's kind of not like silly, but like, it's hard to imagine because you honestly don't know
right. What's
going to happen when you're in labor.
Oh, it's silly.
You know, especially as like a first time mom, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like uncomfortable, but really like take it seriously because it makes a huge difference. So we did your class, which was so great. Our journey with Watson, my oldest, was a little bit different. I went in at 37 weeks for a checkup. I could tell something was a little bit wrong. She retook my blood pressure a couple times and then took me back to the room and just didn't do the usual chit chat, her nurse, and was like, your doctor will be right in. And then when she came in, she was like, so we're going to have a baby today. And I was like, I have 3 more weeks, like, you know. She's like, your blood pressure is too high. You're showing signs of preeclampsia. So we need to induce you and have this baby today. So go get your stuff and I'll meet you over at the hospital. I was in shock. I had come from work and was expecting to go back to work. So I went back and was like, went to my boss, started crying, was like, I'm having my baby, you know? So Then I called Kason. We got our stuff because luckily we had packed already and headed over. So with Watson, I was actually induced. I chose to use Cervidil. I wanted the least invasive one. So they did your usual, you know, your IV lock, your saline lock, just in case. But then I was like, that's all that I want. You can do intermittent monitoring as needed, but I don't want to be attached to anything, which they were really supportive of, which is great. And going back to like, as a first time mom, not knowing what labor is going to be like, this is kind of embarrassing. My mom and my sister were there with me, and because my sister worked in admitting, so she just came upstairs to like see me.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. But then I was like, these contractions are so hard. And she was like, okay. You know, like, this is nothing. Yeah. You know, that was like at the very beginning.
Well, good for her for not saying that.
I know. She's just like, breathe through it. It's okay. Really, she's like, you don't know what's coming. So then it was like a 12-hour process, kind of just from start to finish. It was kind of a whirlwind, to be honest. There's not a lot that I remember when it comes to getting more and more dilated. I just remember towards the end being like in a lot of pain because, again, I was induced. And induced natural births are way different than normal natural births, which I know now. I didn't know that at that moment. So I was in a lot of pain. I was being pretty vocal. I was yelling and all the things. My nurse at the time was like, you need to be quiet. You're disrupting the other patients.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like,
I remember you sharing that.
Yeah. Just dumbfounded. I was like, excuse me? Like, of course I'm like in labor naturally. And I have a lot of respect for nurses, but there's a way to communicate with your patients. And that wasn't the way to do it. She wasn't calling me the right name. She kept calling me Ashley. And my name is Erin.
Oh, that would be so frustrating.
Yeah. And you have your board in your room and it says your name, you know.
Yeah.
But she just kept being like, Ashley, you need to calm down, Ashley. So then in the middle of
maybe
it,
go tell Ashley.
I'm like, go find her. Yeah. Go tell her. I was in the middle of a contraction and finally was like, my name's not Ashley. I like just yelled it at her. It was like, I'm Erin. Like, oh, you have like one, maybe two patients. Like, you know, sorry, this story's kind of scattered.
No, no, it's beautiful. Keep going.
My midwife wasn't there at the time and I could tell that Watson was ready to come out. It's time to start pushing because you know your body. When it comes down to it, you will have the feelings that you need to have to know when you're ready. So I was like, he's ready to come out. And she was like, no, don't push. Like, she's not here yet. And I was like, he's coming out. Like, one way or another, he's gonna, you know. And she actually put her hand and was like holding him in so that he wouldn't come out. And she's like, I'm not delivering this baby. And luckily, my husband at this time, I could tell his irritation had been growing and growing. He finally had a similar outburst to what I had and was like, then move. And I was like, you cannot do that. Yeah. So then
my favorite story, by the way.
Yes.
Love that.
This whole thing in the moment, like, there was just so much going on. I was in so much pain. I specifically remember him saying that. And I love that he stepped up and did what he needed to for me and our son.
Yeah.
Like, that was so amazing. And then, honestly, I don't remember what happened after that. Like, I don't know if she delivered him or if my doctor finally got there. But I was on my side and I rolled over and there was just, like, a room full of people. Mm. So crazy. Watson was born. He didn't cry at first. I had torn pretty bad from the trauma of like her holding him in and him coming out so fast and all that. And then they took him away while my midwife worked on me, and he was actually not breathing. It kind of took a minute for them to get him up and going. My placenta had ruptured, so he had the oxygen and all of that had been cut off, and it just was kind of not great. He actually ended up going to the NICU for 7 days, but my recovery was great. Like, since I hadn't had like a episiotomy, I tore naturally. She was able to just stitch it up, and is actually better that way. But that was my first birth. So pretty scary, not textbook what we had learned natural birth would be like, not what I had heard birth would be like from my sisters, like, sure, all of that, you know.
Sure. Do you mind if I ask you, mm-hmm, when the provider said, we're having a baby today, mm-hmm, were there, looking back on that, do you believe that that was the correct option for that time?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Because Watson was small. He was 4 pounds, 12 ounces when he was born. The NICU doctor mentioned that they must have got my due date wrong, because even for 37 weeks, that's really small. Knowing now, since this, I didn't mention this. I've gone to nursing school and I'm now a registered nurse. So learning through my mom baby classes, preeclampsia and what it can elevate to and everything, I think I absolutely made the right decision, because I know what can happen if you chose to wait. So for the safety of Watson, I think that that was the best decision. And my midwife she's very sweet, and like your reviewer mentioned, they're usually there for you to support you.
Yeah.
So I don't think that she would have done that if she didn't feel it was the best decision either.
Okay. And that's huge. This is like something we stress all the time. Like, you have to have a provider that you trust, and mm-hmm, that's why, because you don't want to have a situation where you look back and say, I don't know that that went the way that it should have, mm-hmm, because I didn't choose a provider that I trusted.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you had that relationship can talk about the importance of that. You shared it without saying that, you know, she wouldn't have done that. In other words, I trusted her.
So yeah.
That's huge.
And to me, I know that no doctor chooses to disrespect their patients or anything like that. For me, though, I've always used a nurse midwife, because I feel that they are a little bit more in tune with not only a natural birth, but then also intervening with modern medicine when needed.
Sure.
Which I think is great. So I think that she was definitely going with that, where she actually helped me choose the type of the way to be induced because I wanted like least invasive. So she kind of showed me my options in the office before I went to the hospital. And she was like, I'll tell them that you want this. You know, she was great. So
you felt respected throughout the process. I think that's huge. A provider offering you options. There's many ways to do this, which one feels right for you. And I think especially at the end of birth, and you can probably attest to this as a mom now, but when we go and talk about our birth experience, it's not so much the details that stack up. It's how we were treated. It's how we were felt and respected as a woman at the end of the day. And so it sounds like you had that, and that makes a huge difference.
Yes, I definitely had that with my provider, with my midwife. The nurse made a huge impact on me, actually, which kind of leads to where I am now. I had kind of toyed with the idea of nursing school. My mom's a nurse. I started the prereqs in high school, but then was like, that's too much schooling. I don't want to do that, you know? So when Watson was born, I was kind of just working a normal job, you know? It wasn't my career, but it was a job. After that experience, though, I was like, no one should be treated like that. Like, especially not in such a huge moment in your life. Like, it's literally life-changing. You're bringing another life into this world, and like, it's huge. And maybe she, you know, nursing is hard, so maybe she was on her third shift in a row, you know. I like to give her the benefit of the doubt, but it was such an impact on me that that is the reason that I chose to go to nursing school, because I was like, I want to go to school so that I can be the nurse that women need when they're in labor, because like, that was not it. Like, so I really like thank her for that, because it led me to where I am now. But the way you're treated during that makes a huge difference. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. So. And I'm grateful for women like you that have experiences like this, and you're like, and now I'm going to change the world.
Yes.
We need it. You're the nurse I want to run into. You're the one I'm going to want to refer to. You're the midwife eventually that's going to be like, I know her. I know her heart. I know how she treats women. I know how she respects them. Go to her.
Thank
like
you.
It matters, you
it
know.
Does,
we
yes.
do that in the birthing community now. I have my midwives that I love, and I have my OBs that I love, and it's because of how they treat women, and they respect them, and they give them their options. And anyway, so and you can tell they got into those things because they care about people. And anyway, so it makes a huge difference, and you're a woman making an impact. And so I want to say thank you and respect and appreciate that.
Thanks.
Okay, I do want to hear about your second birth though, because you said this was a little more textbook.
Yes. Yeah. So those experiences were pretty much night and day, like kind of crazy.
Did you do any birth preparation
I
for
didn't.
The second?
Mm-mm. Okay. I mean, I read up on the handbook that I had.
Yeah.
We kind of reviewed things, but we didn't do like another course or anything. I just kind of was like, I've done this before.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be a little bit more smooth. Yeah. But with my second, my provider and I had been preparing for the potential of preeclampsia happening again and then maybe having to be induced. So at 37 weeks, she gave me the option to be induced or wait. And I was like, well, I'm going to wait. If everything looks fine, then he'll come when he's ready, you know, which I was glad she gave me that option. So then the week before my due date, I had had an appointment that morning. She checked me. I can't remember. I wasn't very dilated. It wasn't like significant. And then I went to the grocery store and was like, I feel a little funny. Like that, how crazy it would be if your water broke in the grocery store, you know? And then I went home and was putting groceries away, and then was like rushing fluid down my legs. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, is that, did my water break? I know I didn't just stand here and pee my pants. Like, what else can it be? So I called my mom and was like, I don't know. And she was like, well, like, call Kaysen, call your provider and see what she thinks. So I called Kaysen and was like, I think my water just broke. So he's like, okay. And he's like, I'm going home. And then I texted my midwife and was like, this just happened, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, it sounds like your water. So like, stay home, keep me updated, blah, blah, blah. So that was pretty early in the morning. Kaysen came home. Nothing was really happening. Long story short, we waited the whole day for contractions to start. And I had been like, I don't know, because like usually when your water breaks, contractions start pretty quickly, you know? So then my provider had me go in after the 24-hour mark where your risk of infection heightens. And then they were going to start me. But I was like, you know what? I actually want to check it, make sure that was actually my water.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't want to start if that's not what that was.
Right.
So they checked and it wasn't. What she had said was sometimes you have like what's called a pre-fluid sac where you have, it's like a water balloon where you twist off and you have two, you know. So I had like a small pocket of amniotic fluid that broke, but it wasn't like my actual water. So then it was a false alarm, which was kind of embarrassing, but it's fine
because
things
all.
Like that will happen. Yeah. It's fine. You don't need to be embarrassed because it was fluid. You know, it did break. It just wasn't my actual water.
Right.
So then we went back to work, everything. And then the next, exactly a week later, the night before, contractions had been pretty strong at work, but I was like, it's fine. I can still walk through them, smile through them, talk.
Well, and they had to be different than your induction contractions.
Yeah, totally. Because that was the other thing. It was, I kind of brushed up on what to expect, but I didn't know because my other one had been induced and they're totally different.
Okay, so I just want to sidetrack just for a moment. Will you talk about what it was like to have Pitocin contractions? And then you can talk about in relation to.
Yeah, but. So they are, in my opinion, longer, stronger, and harder.
Okay.
Which is what I feel like most people will tell you. And like I said, I feel like with that first one, I was not myself. Like it was almost like I was outside looking in, just like so much pain, not being able to remember what I had learned in our class to like breathe and find a focal point to focus on, just so much pain. And like was not able to use your therapeutic breathing anything. And that's why I mentioned I was like screaming, like not relaxed at all.
Right.
So then it just was like so painful, which that's not, I mean, birth is obviously painful, but it's not that painful, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the other reason I was like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know if these are contractions because my other ones came on so hard, so fast, you know? So then I was working with someone and she was like, do you need to go home? And I was like, no, like I can smile, I can talk, it's fine. Then I went home and they kind of slowed down. You know, I ate something, laid down and it was fine. I woke up the next morning and started getting ready for work and was like, okay, these are getting a little bit closer, a little bit harder. But again, I don't know because I've never done this before. And was like, it's fine, I'll know. Yeah. I'll know, you know? I was like doing my makeup and Kaysen was like, I think that maybe we need to go in. And I was like, no, it's fine. I'll know. I'll know when I need to go in. And he was like, okay. And then he like, I can't remember if I called my mom or he did, but she like showed up and was like, I'm here just in case. And I was like, I'm going to work. You know, it was like Saturday morning. I'm like, Kaysen will
be at work. Do you watch The Office? I'm going to get off track here. You know the one, Jim and Pam, they're like trying to figure out if she's in labor. Mm-hmm. He's like pulling out all the birth books.
Yes.
And give your husband
totally.
Like,
he's like,
2 minutes
look,
apart.
Look at this.
Still, like, it's time to go.
Yes. But you're like, no, no, I know my body. Yeah, I know. So funny. So then I remember I like was talking to my mom and kind of had to stop and like grab the wall. And she was like, okay, Erin, you need to go to the hospital now. And I was like, okay, fine. So I finally like texted my boss and was like, I think I'm actually in labor. So then as we're driving to the hospital, I still was, and I don't know if it was left over from the experience of Watson, but I was like, I don't want to go too early.
Yeah.
I don't want unnecessary interventions. Like, so I was, that was the real reason why I didn't want to go, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like I wanted
to. Did you
to,
know that at the time? Or was this just
this
like,
was like looking back, kind of reflecting on it, was like, okay, I really didn't want to go
that
through that
sense.
Again, because it was pretty rough, and just was like, I'm not ready. Like, we don't need to go. We were at the stoplight right by the hospital. I'm like, maybe we just go get drinks or something. And he was like, no. Like, so we parked in the parking lot and he's like, we can stay out here for a minute. And then I had one more and was just like, you know, breathing through it, had to stop, put my head down, focusing, all that. And Kaysen's like, we're going inside. So we went inside, got checked in and everything. They checked me and I was actually at a 7.
Yes.
So yeah.
Oh my
goodness.
Which was
kind of crazy.
I love that. No, it's okay. Let's get drinks.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, it's fine. Cool. She was like, good thing you came in. That was like, you've progressed a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So I was super happy with that though, because then I was at the point where I was like, okay, I'm far enough along. Like, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to wait it out. It's going to be great. That nurse was amazing. She was like, what do you want? What do you need? She brought me the birthing ball. She brought me the bar, like all the things. And I had told her how my everything went with Watson and was like, I'm not doing that again. And she's like, okay, well, I'll do what I can to make sure that doesn't happen.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, she was so great. And it just kind of validated. In that point, I was in the middle of school and was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be this person. You know, it was so great. I had been texting my doctor all morning. She was at the dentist and was like, I don't know if I'll make it, but my partner will, like her partner midwife. But I remember I like got in the bath for a minute. That didn't last very long because I just was like, I can't sit still, you know, walking around, bouncing on the ball, all the things. And then finally, like, called the nurse and was like, I think I'm ready to push. And she was like, I'll check you. And she checked and she's like, oh, you're still at a 7. And I think it had been an hour or two since I got there. And she was like, I'll go, like, I can't remember. She's going to do something and come right back. She walked out and I was like, go get her. And Kason was like, why? And I was like, go get her. So like, went and got her. She came right back. And then I don't remember if she was checking me again or what, but then my water just like, all over her, which I'm so sorry, but that will happen to you. And like immediately, I don't know the time frame because it was so fast, but seriously, my water broke and I swear like he was here. Like it was crazy.
Wow.
But
so did that nurse end up delivering the baby?
Yes, she did.
And she chose to.
That's awesome. And she did say, actually was like, well, it looks like I'm going to be delivering him and it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
I love that contrast.
And like, yeah. The aide that was there was actually in nursing school too. So she was like, I can help. You know, that was like the birth team that I needed.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Kason was able to just relax, you know, and be as a husband should be during that time, like supporting me, watching, was able to cut the cord and everything where it was how it should be, you know, with Watson. It was such a whirlwind and was just everything happened so fast and we were both so like, what is going on, you know?
You know, it's interesting that you talk about the birth team because I have like a deep-seated belief, is a personal belief, that whoever is meant to be at somebody's birth is who's going to be there. And I love that at your first birth, perhaps you had the situation that you had to force you into this, the blessing of other women and this life that you're about to live moving forward. I had a very similar experience. I know that you've heard it before, but my first was a cesarean. And I think of how that contrasted to how different it was. I was going to make sure that it was going to be at the next one and who was at my birth at that one. And then the birth team having a home birth and the support with the third. And same thing being like, oh, well, if I can do this, anyone can. And it's time to share it with the world. So, and then you saying that was the birth team that I needed for this next birth. I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's crazy how big of a difference that makes. Like, my mom was there with Watson and she was a huge asset to me. She'd been there with all my sisters, you know, I think that was amazing, but I love her for that. But then she was the one I wanted watching Watson when we went in to have Colin, because she's the one I trust with him. I almost love that it was just me and Kason, because then it was like he helped me through it. You know, I remember him holding my hands and looking into my eyes and being like, you can do this. We're going to do it. Like, you're almost there, you know.
Yeah.
It almost makes me emotional.
Yeah. Of course.
But it's crazy the difference that it makes, like when people respect what you want and are willing to go with that, like it, how it makes you feel is so different, and just the way everything goes is so, it's like I said, it was night and day. It was crazy. And then he was fine, we stayed for 24 hours and we all went home. Like, it was just crazy.
I think about that, the sacred space that we have in having our babies, the space that's held in there, and then really how that walks us into motherhood. I think that's been, that was a big contrast for me and my experiences, but watching it for other women as well. Watching somebody who is loved and respected, and she just, she has a glow about her. You can tell she walks into postpartum with confidence and a light about her, instead of this contrast being somebody shrinking into themselves and like kind of creating this protective shell of like, what just happened?
Totally.
And don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
I love the relationship you have with your husband. I want to ask you, during birth preparation for both of them, not like very specific, like, you know, preparation, but in coming up to those births, how has communication, what was that like for you guys? Because I'll tell you, like, my husband's going to be on the podcast here in a bit. And I will tell you, like, our communication sucked. Like, you know, like newlyweds and now we're pregnant and I'm grumpy and like all the things. And we weren't really good at telling each other what we needed or how to help each other, I guess, through that. So how has communication been important for you? How have you noticed the difference? What is that like for you now?
Yeah, we, with Watson, like I said, he was Kason was really supportive with doing the classes and everything. It kind of took a little bit of like me pulling him, you know, like, I'll meet you there. Like, yeah. We're doing this. I paid for it. Like, you know, but, and it was kind of not uncomfortable, but like a little awkward, you know, where, yeah. Because it was so unknown as to how things were going to go, and I didn't know what to expect or anything like that. But he listened when me personally, like, it's really hard for me to ask for help. It's hard for me.
Do you know your Enneagram number?
No.
Okay. We're going to test her on this after.
That is something I know about myself and, well, didn't. I've learned recently that it's hard for me to ask people for help. I prefer to do things myself. So I think that he was more than willing to help with that first one, but I didn't ask for help that I needed. You know, I was kind of just like, I'm the one going through it. I need to work on this. Yeah. And then, like, I know that you can push on my hips, but I'm not going to ask you to do that because that's... It makes me uncomfortable, like, not to have him doing that, but asking for help is hard. So then with Watson, it was, again, night and day, where I was like, I need you to be in here holding my hand. I need you to remind me to breathe. Like, because, and that was the other thing with Watson, I found myself holding my breath a lot, which, like, you need to breathe through it. So then Kason was really great at, like, breathe, Erin, like, you can do this. You're almost there. You've made it this far, you know, saying those words of encouragement that you need to hear.
And you, the nice part about that is you obviously had a relationship where when he said those things, you listened.
Yes. You're, it wasn't like, this is, don't tell me what to do. Yeah. You know,
that's what I did with my husband the first time around. I was like, you're not a doula. You're not a midwife. So you don't know what this feels like. Don't talk to me right now.
And I think that was a big mentality that we have our first time, you know, you don't know how this feels. You don't know what I'm doing. Like, you did this, you know, this is your fault.
Yeah, this is your fault. Exactly.
But I think that they watching the person you love goes through something like that is amazing.
It changes
it you. It changes them because since then I have watched births and clinicals and at birthing centers. I had a brief stint working at a birth center and went to a couple home births and stuff. And that is why I love this. Right. I love watching that connection between the partners or everyone in the room. It's just amazing. Like, so I love watching the husbands or partners or whoever watch the one they love go through that and bring that life into the world because they understand. They might not feel the pain, but they see you in pain. They want to help you. So ask for help. Like, you know, and having them there makes a big difference. Like, with, like I said, with Cohen, he kind of did those things that you learn a partner can do to help, like offer drinks, get you snacks, all of those things. So allow them to help you because, they're not going through the process with you. They're not actually bringing the baby into the world, but, like, they're watching you and it's painful for them. Right. You know, they want to help you, but they can't. Well, and like you said,
even just having them in the space makes a huge difference. I remember reading a while back, and I'm not even going to be able to find the study now, so don't ask for it. But there was the study that they did with doulas and they had them do absolutely nothing except for be in the room and, like, hold her hand or tell her she was doing well, like no hands on stuff. And they did that, you know, versus having nobody in the room and watching the difference was like night and day. And actually, as I'm saying that, I wonder if some of them were nurses as well, like where they had the nurses when they come in, just really positive. And we talk about this holding space and it's so real. Totally. It's so real. The space that you hold for that woman. And so to walk through that with your birth partner, you know, your husband, their other half of this baby is huge. Okay, so I want to ask you now, if you have advice for mothers, which I'm sure you do, what is that? What does that look like?
I think that it's just, like, trust yourself. You know your body. You know what you want. Have the, not like, it's not necessarily the confidence, but it is also confidence to stand up for yourself. You know, this is your birth, your process. It's your child, and you get to choose, for the most part, how things go. But at the same time, be okay with it if things change, you know, because things might change. Yeah. Like, I had no idea I was going to be induced with Watson. That's not what I wanted.
Right.
But for him, I knew that's what we needed to do. Or if you are in the middle of it and it's too hard, it's okay to get an epidural. It's okay to have some type of intervention if you need it. It's not a failure.
Nope.
It's what you need. And either way,
that's what it's for.
Yeah. Either way, you're going to get that baby into the world safely. And that's all that matters yeah. at the end of the day. I think that that's one thing that I have a little bit of a hard time with is this idea that if you don't have that textbook natural birth, you failed.
Right.
I had quite a few friends at my job who were pregnant after I was, and they wanted to do natural. And I was like, that's great. It's a great goal and I can help you. I can give you words of encouragement. I can give you advice, but I want you to know that it's okay if you can't, if you need help. Like, that's fine. And both of them ended up getting epidurals and it was fine. Right. You know? Yeah. And like,
well, and how nice to have someone yes. supportive that you can talk to about it. That's mm-hmm. anyways. Yeah.
Because I just think that that's such a hard, like, it's not, you didn't fail. No. You got your baby yes. here. That's all that matters. Like, yeah. and modern medicine is an amazing thing and it should be utilized when needed.
Yeah.
And
I agree with you 100%.
Good. Because yeah. it's just like, man, that mentality is sometimes hard for me to get past when people are like,
yeah,
so against it.
Yeah. Like, well, and it's hard to be a mom in that space that maybe did utilize some mm-hmm. of those things, but didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And then to come out feeling, and I think too, because you talk it up so much, you're yes. like, no, I'm going to have this unmedicated birth. I'm going to do this thing. And then if that's not your story, having to say out loud that it mm-hmm. didn't happen. And I think too, because it's like, how many times are you going to do this in your life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But having the conversation be, there's no wrong way to give birth. Yes. There's no wrong way to get your baby here. Mm-hmm. I think it's super important that women have the knowledge and the preparation and the skills that they can have the birth as best as they want and mm-hmm. desire, you know, moving through that experience. But there's no wrong way to do yeah, it.
So exactly.
It's huge.
That's my main advice is like, it's okay if you can't do it because you're going to do what's best for you. And
yeah.
like, I commend you and I'm so proud of you for trying to do this natural birth. And if you do it, that's amazing. If not, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
I love
just,
it.
Yeah. So that's my main thing. And then allow people to help you. Like, you don't have to do it by yourself. Like,
yeah.
'cause it's hard. It's a lot of work. And allow people to intervene when they can and do what they can to help you because you shouldn't have to do it by yourself. It's exhausting. It's hard. Let them bring you ice chips if they want to, you know?
Like, rub your feet.
Yes.
Yes. All the things.
So that's what I would say to them.
Okay. And how about, I want to hear advice for dads.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious. In my opinion, I'm like, yeah, preparation. Like, they need to walk through a birth course with me too. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to know what we're getting into together
yes.
if we're going to have that support. Right.
Yes.
So what's your advice for dads?
I think listen to your partner. You know, if she wants to do natural, support her. Like, this is a big thing she has to do. She has to bring a baby into the world, and
right.
it's a lot of work. Support her. It's going to be hard because, like we talked about, they're watching the person they love go through something incredibly painful, and there's nothing they can do,
right.
you know, except for talk you through it. But dads, just listen to her. Try to be overbearing, you know, because like during this time you also want your space, but like just be there for her. I think that's the main thing. And then after, help, you know, change the diapers, feed the baby, pick them up, get up in the night, like, because it's exhausting and it's hard and it's a
yeah.
team effort. Like, you need to work together. But during the birthing process, just be there for her because it's a lot of work. And it's hard to watch, but it's also amazing. I just love watching the emotion the dads have.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I just love
Softens
it.
Softens them a bit,
yes.
huh?
Yes, they just, like, you can see it. Like,
yeah.
you can see their heart just, like, becoming, like, softer, like
right.
you said. Like,
yeah.
it just, oh my gosh, I love it so much.
It's
so
the best. Nothing more bonding, right?
No.
Yeah.
And they just, like, watching the person they love bring in another person they love that they made together. Like, oh my gosh, I just love it so much. It's so sweet.
The best. Oh. All right. Well, thank you, Erin, for joining
so
me
welcome.
Today. You're amazing.
Thank
I'm excited
you.
For the work you're going to do. Grateful for the woman that you are.
Thanks.
And really happy you came today.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Good luck, everybody. You're going to be great.
That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop a new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.